Okay, so what I want to do today, until we all just schwitz to death, is as we saw, right, if you remember, the Gemara had said that if you think that really sunrise is what permits the eating of the Omer, so then what's the role of the Karban Omer? So the Gemara says, the mitzvah. So what is this mitzvah exactly? So as we said, right, there are three logical possibilities. What I want to do is see this inside, because this discussion is first really addressed at length in the Yerushalmi. It's quoted as well a little bit in Tosfot. I sent you the Yerushalmi, but let's read through it together. Now, Yosef, it's not that Yerushalmi is harder as much as you're not used to it. It's a different type of Aramaic. It's a bit of an older Aramaic.
Why wouldn't it be written in Hebrew?
Because they were speaking Aramaic. Because they were speaking Aramaic.
So they were in Israel.
Yes, and we know from that Aramaic was the language in Israel also at different points in history.
I know, but I feel like if we're going to do something like this.
Even in Tanakh, Aramaic is the spoken language of the...
In Daniel.
Not just Daniel. Not Pitam.
What
else? Yechezkel. Yeshayahu. Right?
So most of the Nevi'im...
That they don't... When they speak... Right? No, it depends where. There were different places where people spoke different things.
Speaking, and like, for example, like the Rambam, right? He didn't use it right in Hebrew, like the Mishnah Torah, though he wrote in Hebrew.
Yeah, but the Beresh Mishnah, he wrote in Arabic.
Right, but that's because the Mishnah Torah was a halachic work that was meant to, like, it was like a staple, like, in Judaism.
So then you have the same kasha on the Bafli. But the spoken language was Aramaic.
No, he wrote in Hebrew.
The Targum Eretz Yisrael are all in Aramaic. Right? Okay. They were speaking Aramaic, so that's what they wrote in. These are conversations. Okay. So, the Yerushalmi, remember, the Yerushalmi is published before the Bavli. Right?
Not by much.
By decades of a century. But before. So, the Yerushalmi in Chala deals with this question. So, the first mission, Chala, Remember, we saw how the Mishnah that we did here in Menachot say that the five grains are what's chayev and have the Isurim of Chadash, and the five grains are also subject to Challah. So, not surprisingly, you have parallel sugyot in the two Mesechtot. But there is no Yerushalmi in Menachot, because there is no Yerushalmi on any of Kachim, because there isn't. Just isn't. Was it ever written and we lost it? There were people who believed that. We don't know. There was a forgery Yerushalmi that was published about 100 years ago, and the Ragachev was the one who figured out it was a forgery, based on certain tendencies within the Yerushalmi. Anyways, so the Yerushalmi in Chala says as follows: Asur mechadash mefnei Pesach. So I don't remember exactly what I put in what I sent you, so you'll tell me when I put it already, okay? Is Tanoi Tani mefnei Pesach? Okay, good. So from there. So some say before Pesach, is Tanaitani Milfnei HaOmer. And some say before the Omer, Man de Omar Milfnei HaPesach. The one who says before Pesach, Mesaila Rabbi Yochanan, Man de Milfnei HaOmer, Mesaila Chizkia. Why? De Omer Rabbi Yonah B'Shem Chizkia B'Shas HaKravat HaKorban Matir. Shelo B'Shat HaKorban HaYom Matir. Right? This was the first day that we saw in our Gemara. That it's either this or that. If there is a Karban HaOmer, so then the Omer is Matir. If there isn't a Karban HaOmer, then sunrise is Matir. Rabbi Yossi, B'Shem Chizkiya, B'Shat HaKarban, HaKarban Matir. When there's a Karban, the Karban's Matir. Mod HaChizkiya, and HaChizkiya agrees, Shelo B'Shat HaKarban, Hayom Matir. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bein B'Shat HaKarban, Bein Shelo B'Shat HaKarban, Hayom Matir. Whether or not there is a Karban, right now, again, we said the simple pshat of the Bavli, and even more explicit in the Yerushalmi, is that the first day of that first stage in the Gemara actually thinks that there's just two completely different tracks. When there's a Beit HaMikdash, one thing. When there isn't, none. And I think we'll go back to that probably tomorrow. But or maybe at the end of the day, I don't know if we can, we'll see. But Amar, if we survive, exactly. Amar Vihila, Taima de Rabbi Yochanan, at Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Because the pasuk says, "Until the essence of this day, milamed shayom matir, yochal afilu mishat hakorban." So you might think that's true, even with the korban. Tamal lomar adav yachem et korban eloheichem, yochal havao mamash. And here's where, remember, I said yesterday that maybe the key to understanding the yom being mat tier, and yet it's still being connected to the Omer, is because it's not the 16th, but it's the day of the bringing of the Omer that's Matir. Where do you get that idea? From here, this line in the Yerushalmi, which says, you might have thought you actually have to bring the Karban, Talmud Lomar, at Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Not the 16th, but the day of the Karban. So, Ketzah told me, Nem Zman Ava. So now the Gemara says, "Mode Rabbi Yochanan be isher shuhu usher." But at least Rabbi Yochanan agrees that it is usher to eat the new grain before the Karban Omer. Isuro mahu. So this is what we don't have at all in the Bavli, which is the Bavli calls it lemitzvah, the Yerushalmi calls it isher. But anyway, the Yerushalmi then goes on and says, "And what exactly are you talking about? What is the isher?" So Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Isuro Divar Torah. Rabbi Yirmiya says it is a biblical prohibition. Rabbi Yona, Rabbi Yosi, Tarveon Amrin, Isuro Midifrehen. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yona say it is Dirabanan. That's what it means. And Omer Rabbi Yosi, Milehon Dirabanan, Misai and Lo. Etc. Is that actually what I stopped for you? Or did I go farther? What did I give you? Okay. You don't bring these before them. Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Rumia, Rabbi Yona, Rabbi Imi, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan. The fact that these minachot that are brought before the Omer are invalid is only on the 13th, 14th, 15th. But on the 16th, kasher. If you bring it, you're not supposed to bring it, but if you did, it's kasher. In Tamar Isur Dvar Torah, if it were a biblical prohibition to bring the Omer to bring the mincha before the Omer is brought, so then it should be pasul. He shlosar yezabasri chamishas yishishasar. Over behavi pasul. And it should be invalid whether it's 13, 14, 15, or 16. Va'od min adad amar bizera alei derav bar daiton de benoi derbichia rabba hu savar kabaton in tamer yisrud bar Torah rav bar daiton derbi yochananu. Okay. So what you see is you have two different positions. And then the Gemara there says, or maybe I should have given you one more line, that the Gemara says, but wait a second, isn't there the Takana of Yochum and Zakai? That when there's no Beit HaMikdash, the whole day is Asur. In Tim Rishu Dvar Torah, if you thought it was biblical, Nichos, then it makes sense. In Tim Rishu Dvarayin, Yesh Takana Achar Takana? Is there a takana on a takana? If the whole Isser don't eat, wait till the Omer is only Rabbanan, you're not going to put takana on top of the takana. So Omer Rabbi Yosi Rebbe of Nera Chokin said, it's a gzera for the people who are far away. Okay. The Gemara does continue a little bit, but let's stop it there. But what you see is two doubt in the Yerushalmi, whether the Yisr is the Oraita or the Rabbanan. Now, what does Tosfot hold? Tosfot is the third day in the Sugya. What does Tosfot say?
Tosfot holds the
Mishnah. Very good. So Tosfot on Daf Hey Amud Beis says, V'im Tomar Nihi Dematir Halav Asei Mi Oika. Isn't there at least an assay to wait until the Omer? But there's a problem. So Tosfot said, the Gemara, if you remember, said, if it's only a mitzvah, why should you set up a gzeira? But now, in the Yerushalmi, it's clear that you can make a gzera for an ase d'oraita. The only thing you wouldn't make a gzera for is derabanan. The Gemara says maybe you even would for derabanan. But Tosfot assumes that you would never make a gzera on an ase. Even if the ase is d'oraita, you'll make gzera to protect lavin. So he says, so why is the Gemara so... No, I'm sorry, other way around. Tosfot says if it's biblical, you would make a gzera. Right? Even if it's an ase. And therefore, why is the Gemara so worked up about it? Just say you're making a gzera on the assay, if midaraita, the lav is wiped away when the sun rises, but there's an assay to not eat the omer to eat new grain until the omer, so then it makes sense as a gzeira. What's the gemara bothered by? So he says, "Lafichach nira deino lemitzvah mina mukhar ba'alma v'afilu asei leka." So he says, "No, it's not even an assay. It's just the better way of doing it." So we have three deos essentially. Right, what do we have?
Why would the gemara bring up the base of mikdash in the beginning?
What do you mean?
It's different in terms of the base
standing. No. The gemara is saying that here the gemara's question was on the gzeira. Is that why would you make a gzeira if? Why would you make a gzeira if there's no iser? Because here Meir Mizrach permits it. So the Yerushalmi says, well, it just depends derais derabanan. You wouldn't make a, at first glance, you wouldn't make a double derabanan. And then the Gemara says, maybe you would. But there's no problem saying that for an ase deraisa, you would make a gzeira. Based on that, Tosfot said, well, then what was the Gemara's question to begin with? It must be that this is not even a regular assay, because a regular assay, of course you would make gzeira. You wouldn't for mitzvah min amuvchar. The only thing you wouldn't do it for is if it's just better. Okay. So let's try to understand this. And like I said, I think what I'm going to do on some of these is I'll tell you the achronim a little bit outside. But what you see already is right the main sheetot here. Is right that this mitzvah three possibilities, right? That it's a ase de araisa, it's a derabanan, or it's just a mitzvah min hamuvchar. Okay. What else did I put on the sheet? By the way, on the sheet, or was that it? I think.
Is the nature of the iser different from barley and other?
Okay, so. So hold that, okay? So let's try to get a little bit into the understanding of this issue, okay? So I'm going to, like I said, instead of making this shir go on till the end of the year and giving you all the shagas aryas inside, I'm going to, we'll talk about it a little bit more outside. I know you forgive me. The question is, do I forgive myself? I know you forgive me. Okay. Now, so one way that it's presented in the Achronim is to say as follows. That maybe the Isser of Meher Mizrach is an Isser Cheftza, meaning that the object is actually treif, right? But once sun rises, so now the only reason you can't eat it is because exactly that there's either an isur or a mitzvah on the gavra that you shouldn't be eating until you. Right, not that it's treif, is that you should be bring the omer first. So that's one way that the Achronim might take it. But let me read you some. Okay. So it's just hot and it's just torture. One more Tosfos I wanted you to see. This is, I'm losing concentration. Look at one more Tosfos. Just look at Tosfos on some Ches. I think, did I give you both? I meant to, but if I didn't...
No, just
okay. So if you look at Tosfos on Samaches, on the main one, I think that was just given to me that we would look at that one. He says, Tosfos says, Mashma de'ika asei de'oraisa, ela de'lek alav. It sounds like there's an asei de'oraisa. Tosfos in there says it sounds like it's an asay d'oraisa samaches, like on the sugya. Amadalev, the last one again. He says mashma he got say d'oraisa. It sounds like it's biblical. Ela d'lek alav. There's just no love. V'had d'achik mishum mitzvah leko v'legzor. And the Gemara at this stage thinks that even if it's an Isra D'oraita, you don't make a Gzera. On a Aseh, you only do it on Lavim. V'tema, migar mi beitza. Why? In the beginning of beitza. Yes. So there we have Gzera to protect Aseh's. So he says, okay, whatever. He answers up the question. But at the end, his conclusion is, the last three words, Mikamokam, Asumi D'oraita. It is Asumi D'oraita. So you see the Tosfot on Samechet assumes that it's an Asay D'oraita. Right? The Yerushalmi either holds it's an Asay or a Lav D'oraita, not totally clear. Right? Or it's Derabanan, or Mitzvah and Amufkar. Right? So we have really three possibilities, maybe three and a half. Right? But either Mitzvah Asay D'oraita, right, maybe love, but probably not, unless you take Yerushalmi very literally. Derabanan, which is the other day in the Yerushalmi. Or mitzvah min hamuvchar. Now, if you think it's an Isra Asay D'oraita, so what's the source? What's the pasuk? It's very simple. Right, you would say, that you say that is correct, and the way you would have to read it is that the lo tochlu is on etzem hayom hazeh, and then there's some sort of asay on waiting till the carbon, which is a little bit weird. Right, and that's what the Shagazari notes.
Say, right.
Correct. So the Shagazari notes that that's weird because if it's from the Torah, it should be a lav, right?
Tohu ad etzem, and then it says ad yechem es korb.
Okay. So the Shagazari thinks, and the Ola Shlomo both think that Tosfos and Dav Hei, who says that it's mitzvah min amuvchar, what they mean is asur midrabanan. Then saying mitzvah min amuvchar is the same thing as saying it's asur midrabanan. Okay, and then they know, well, this is a machlokes in the Yerushalmi. Right, that the Yerushalmi has a machloket, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabanan. Correct. I'm just telling you, I'm giving you the summary. Now, we noted that in the Yerushalmi, it was willing to say that it was Derabanan and still say it would be a Gzera L'Gzera because of the Rechokim, right? Because of the people who are Lamaisa not going to find out that it was brought. And the Pnei Moshe had said, okay. Now, the Griz thinks that it is, that Tosfos means exactly what he says. It is an Isser D'Oraisa. But why? And the Grid is one of the people who says what we said, that there's a difference between an Isser on the Gavra and an Isser on the Chefza. That what type of Isser Aseh is it? What you would say is, you're right, that there's an Isser on the food is treif until sunrise, but there's a mitzvah on the person, or maybe even a lava on the person, probably a mitzvah on the person to wait until the Karban Pesa, the Karban Omer, is brought. And he proves it from the following. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Yud Gimel, which I didn't give you, but I've mentioned a few times, says that when the Jews came in to Eretz Yisrael, they weren't allowed to eat Chadash until Tet Zayin, unless they brought the Omer. Right? That's from Yoshua. And the Gemara had said, where did they find grain for the Karban HaOmer? right? They just moved into the country. Where do they get the grain? So, Tosfos had said that this must be according to the Shita of Rav and Shmuel, that sunrise didn't matir it before the bringing of the Omer, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's no problem, because after sunrise, all the grain was in play. And the Achronim had asked, but I understand, even according to Tosfot, you're not allowed to eat grain after sunrise, it's just an Isra Aseh. So the Griz says that Rav and Shmuel held that Heir Pene HaMizrach, There's no Isser to eat after sunrise. There's just a mitzvah to wait to the akrava. And therefore, what the Gemara was saying is that if there was no... Right, what Tosfos is saying is that if you hold like Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, and this is the nafkamina. What's the nafkamina between saying it's a chiyuv on the gavra to wait to the karban, or it's an Isser lav? So the Griz says it's the following. That if you think that the Isser is until, right, the end of the day and you need the Omer to be matirit, so then if you can't bring the Omer... Is it usher to eat grain on the 16th? Yes. But if you think that there's a mitzvah, there's an alav that is treif until sunrise, and then there's a chiyuv gavra to wait until the omer to eat it, no. So he says more than that. What's the nature of the Isser Aseh? The nature of the Isser Aseh is to prioritize the bringing of the omer. But let's say you can't bring the Omer because it's the first year that Klal Yisrael came into Israel and there's no grain practically to bring the Omer from because no Jews grew grain in Eretz Yisrael. So then the lav is lifted when? At sunrise. And what about the Isra Aseh? There is no Isra Aseh because the Isra Aseh is to wait until the Korban if you can. But if there's no, never going to be a Korban because there's no possibility, so the Isra lav dissipates because the Chiyuv Gavra is to wait until the Omer, but that depends, it's like Anus, right? It's like, don't eat before Kiddush, but if you know you're never going to have Kiddush, right?
This also applied for Shemitah years?
This was the first year when they moved into...
No, yeah, but Shemitah would be the same.
No, Shemitah you bring the Omer. Shemitah you bring the Omer. Shemitah you bring the Omer.
What wheat do you bring? You're not harvesting the seventh year.
You harvest for this.
You harvest and save it for that Shemitah year?
No, you harvest during Shemitah.
You do harvest during Shemitah.
For the mitzvah, correct.
So not just do a little bit.
You know you're in general, you're allowed to harvest, you're allowed to take food to eat during Shemitah. You don't leave it in the field, you're allowed to eat it.
You can't
you don't work the field, you
don't
eat
work
it.
The field, right.
You can harvest it to eat. How do you think you eat it? It's just kadosh.
You saved or something.
No, it's kadosh. Oh. It's a mitzvah to eat it. It's kadosh. Because it's Shemitah. I mean, you're not going to be here for it. You know, even if you stay next year, I doubt you're going to stay in 2 years for Shana Dalad. Shana Dalad is Shemitah for you. If you stay Shana Dalad, your Shana Dalad is Shemitah. I mean, not this coming year, but a year after that. So if you stay Shana Gimel, this was not, I don't want your parents like listening to this, I know they're not listening to this year, but saying like, oh, he's telling him Shana Gimel. This is completely theoretical.
My dad, yeah.
What?
He made that very clear when I suggested Shana Bet.
Yeah. I'm not actually suggesting this. I'm just saying that if you said that would be Shemitah.
There's something changing.
Fine. Okay, I'll do this so that no one gets angry at you. If you come to visit us in a year and a half from now during the winter, right, on your break during college when you're being responsible and going back, you will have to worry about Shemitah. How's that? Is it better?
We're not growing fields.
If you go to the store, the produce is kadosh. What are you talking about?
So what does Israel do during Shemitah?
That's a very good question.
Import.
What?
Do they just import everything?
So some things are imported, and that's called Yivul Nachri, right? Either brought from Kutzaritz or whatever, or some is Kadosh B'Kadosh Shviyit from Ocher Bet Din, which is basically you're not allowed to harvest, but Bet Din is allowed to harvest and sell the produce you're allowed to basically charge for work. Right, but not for the produce itself. So, like, if I asked you, listen, you know, those are really expensive grapes, right? I can't charge $50 for the grapes, right? But I can say, look, I don't feel like going into the hot sun, 112 degrees or whatever it is outside. I'll pay you $5 to just cut down the grapes for me. I'm allowed to do that. So, Otzar Betin basically means that the farmers are hired by Beit Din to harvest on behalf of Jewish people. So then the food that you buy in the store is actually kadosh b'kedusha shviyit, right? And you have to treat it with kedusha.
It's like a government monopoly.
So some of it is done by that. Not so much is done that way. There was a heter that was introduced 150 years ago or so, which is what many of the farmers rely on in Israel, which is called the heter mechira, where basically it's like selling your chametz, right? You sell the land to a non-Jew, and then you work it on behalf of the non-Jew. So that's one, another element. And the last solution is that many poskim think that you can be makil on things that are grown. Actually, there's two other solutions. I should finish this. One other solution is things that are grown in greenhouses of certain kulot, right? Because they're not actually grown in the ground. Right? If they're on matzah menutak. And then the fifth is that there are certain parts of Israel that are not halachically Eretz Yisrael. So things are grown there, and so those are the five different mechanisms that are used during Shemitah. I'm pushing Regensburg. I wanted it for next year, but I think it'll be in 2 years that maybe I'll win, or maybe not, to actually learn Masechet Shviit, Yerushalmi, for the year. And then we can go into some of these issues more in depth.
It all goes to leave the ground to regain its nutrients and stuff.
So that's what the Rambam says, but most don't agree with him. Right? Because, right, that's not what it sounds like in the Psukim. Right? It sounds like in the Psukim that it's about recognizing the land belongs to God. Okay. Now there is...
Well, I mean, back then, what are you going to tell people? Yeah, the ground needs nutrients, so don't do anything to it. Like, you can't tell
them that. Okay. Now there is one more, a bit of a wild position that I'll just mention to you. In the Zer Avram, he has the following chiddush. He says that the Isser, this is really going to highlight the difference. He says, the Isser eating before Bnei Mizrach is a lav. The mitzvah, even if it's daraisa, is a mitzvah asay. But what type of mitzvah asay is it? So the Zer Avram says it's a time-bound mitzvah asay, mitzvah asay shas ben grama. And therefore he says, maybe you could be mechadesh that men and women alike can't eat the new grain until sunrise. But between sunrise and the bringing of the karban, only men can't eat it because they're chayev in mitzvah asay shas ben grama. But women would be allowed to eat it. That is quite a wild chiddush. I'm not sure I buy that 100%.
Who said that?
The Zer Avram.
Who is that?
Menachem Zemba.
Who's that?
He was a Hasidish Lamdan before, about 100 years ago, I think. Okay. But anyway, so that is this. Now, I do think that at the end of the day, the mitzvah min hamuvchar. So if you think it's an asay d'oraita, what you'd say is, I think, some version of this, right? Is that the best way to explain it is that the lav is bechefza, and this is the asay is begavra, right? That you're chayev basically to give priority to the karban, and with some of the nafkamins from the griz, the possible nafkamins the zera from. If you think it's derabanan, honestly, that's a bit strange, right? I mean, then what you're saying, I mean, conceptually, it's pretty smooth, it's just weird. It doesn't sound that way in the sugya. Derabanan, even though Yerushalmi does suggest it, derabanan would just mean that midoraita, the only thing that matters is sunrise. And then there happens to be a mitzvah to bring the omer. The only thing I would say that in this shita is that you would have to take basically what we saw from Avram Pomeranchik, from the, right, very seriously. Meaning there, it's very simple. The iser is about the day, and the point of the Omer is completely on a Doraisa level, a mitzvah, not a matir. It has literally no matir capabilities at all, because there's no Issa, there's nothing. Mitzvah min hamuvchar, I think, is a little bit of a middle. Right? Mitzvah min hamuvchar. So if you think that Tosfos is saying mitzvah hamuvchar means just derabanan, then that's the exact same thing as we just said. Mitzvah min hamuvchar, I think what you would have to do is have sort of a hybrid position, which is say, until Heir B'Yam and Ezrach, it's Osir. After sunrise, it's Mutter. The fact that you have to bring the Omer, I think it's just going to be a mitigated mitzvah asay, right? Is that it's not that it's you're chayev to bring the Omer before you eat anything. And if you don't, like your mevatel mitzvah asay, I think it would just be, you know, it would be nice if you gave the new grain to God before you did it yourself. Right? That would be nice. Right? That would be the proper way of showing that you appreciate everything God has given you. And if you eat before you bring that, so that would show that you don't really appreciate it. But it's not like actually usur, not like a formal mitzvah. It's going to be something like, you know, it's just the right thing to do. It shows that you care about what God, you know, or something like that, right? Now, but if you think it's, you know, mitzvah mukhar and daraisa level, it's a bit weird. You'd have to go, I think, in the direction of like a ratzon hatorah thing, like we talked about, right, with in ma'aviron al mitzvah, right? That is maybe, it's not a formal mitzvah, I'll say, but like, clearly the fact that the Torah ties in the Omer to the, not just the 16th, but the Yom HaNeif, the day that you're bringing the Omer, that shows you that really what it wants you to do is wait. If you didn't, so you didn't violate an Isra as long as the sunrise.
It sounds a lot stronger than that.
I don't know, do you have another formulation for Tosfot? Of mitzvah min ha-muvchar? Meaning, I understand Aseh, it's like the Griz. I understand Durabanan, that means that midoraita, the sunrise is matir, and midorabanan, it has a matir element and not a mitzvah. Not just a mitzvah, but midoraita, just a mitzvah. Mitzvah na mufchar is...
So the saying is, it's neither deraisa nor derabanan.
So what's mitzvah mitzvah na mufchar? So either you say he just means derabanan, which is what the Shagas Arya thinks he means. I tend to think he means mitzvah mitzvah mufchar deraita, and that's where I'm starting to go in one of these, you know, hybrid-esque positions, right? That maybe it's like a ratzon hatorah thing or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I guess you could say it's the best way to do the deraisa. Right? The best way to do the deraisa would be the omer, but if not, then the deraisa is something.
Okay. Now, do you guys have the strength to keep going? Okay, so let me... Now... okay, so the Achorim asked yet another question, which is, okay, but according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, how exactly do these two heterim work together? So, the Shagas Aryeh's Mechadesh that... that basically, there's, and this is maybe a fifth way of understanding it, he's mechadesh that maybe this is what he means. That really the lav still exists, maybe this is what the Yerushalmi means, that the lav exists even after sunrise. So what does it mean that sunrise is matir? I just said it's asur. So he says maybe there's another way of reading it, and this is what the Yerushalmi means. Okay? That there's an intense isser to eat the new grain until the omer. And there are two elements that remove that Esser. When Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say that, hey, Ma'am Mizrach matters it, they don't mean that it matters it completely. What do they mean? It weakens the Esser. It's like left over, it's like a hobbling, right, remnant of its former self.
Isn't that like saying it takes away the Esser of bringing the actual grain for the Omer? But then,
so again, I don't think this works in the Bavli. Right? In the Bavli, it's hard to say this because the Bavli calls it lav and mitzvah. But in the Yerushalmi, you remember the language, what was the language of the Yerushalmi? Isuru dvar Torah, Isuru derabanan. Isuru dvar Torah, right? So that, I think, works, even though the Shagas Aryeh is saying within the Bavli, I think it works better in the Yerushalmi. So I think you really have five models, right? You could say, Heir Pnei HaMizrach is matir, half the Isser, but half the Isser is actually left until you bring the Omer. Right? That's it would be a radical read in the Bavli, but a potential read of the Yerushalmi. The second is to say like the Griz. No. There's an Isser Heftza until sunrise, and then there's a Chiyuv Gavra, Doresa, to wait until the Omer is brought. Then you could say that Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar, right, which is, no, there's not a mitzvah daraisa, but there's a value daraisa, which is how I understand Tosfos. Right, some sort of ratzon haTorah thing. Or you could say, which is the second day in the Yerushalmi, and the way the Shagas Aryeh understands Tosfot, which is that on a daraisa level, sunrise is the matir, and there's a mitzvah independently to bring Karban Omer, but it has nothing to do with eating the new grain. But midirabanan, there is such a... a category. Now, what though is the what is though the one benefit of saying like the Shagas Aryeh that the nature of the Isser is an Isser which is broken apart in two parts? What's the benefit? There's one benefit conceptually to the Shagas Aryeh that doesn't happen, that doesn't exist in the other models. It explains, I think, why. It explains nicely why in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, right? I would honestly say it's interesting. The Shagas Aryeh says this for Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, but if you asked me, I would have said that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the way he understands Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is actually a better way of explaining Rav and Shmuel, right? Because remember, what we've been doing so far is explaining the position of Rabbi Yochanan that what's matir is sunrise, but we said what's still weird is the first day in the Gemara, which is that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the only thing that mattered was the Karban HaOmer. And nowadays, the only thing that matters is Heir Pnei HaMizrach. Right? So you could just say, well, that's the Gzeiras HaKasuv. But another way of doing it is, I think, taking the Shagas Aryeh's logic and actually applying it to them, which is to say, no. There's an Isser. Right? And both sunrise chips away at it, and the Karban chips away at it. If there's a carbon, you need both to chip away at it. But if there's not going to be a carbon, since Heir Bnei Mizrach carries the potential...
That's just like the Gris, though. It's
basically it's not, because it's not Asay Lav. It's saying...
If you can do the Omer, then...
But I'm saying from the vantage point of Lav, that might explain why there's no Het there in the time of the Beit HaMikdash until you bring the Omer, because you'd say, look, right? It's that both of them are there to be Matir. That's what it suggests. I understand. It's a bit of a stretch within Rabban Shmuel's language. And maybe that's why the Shagas Aryeh specifically says it within Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And the way he phrases it, the Shagas Aryeh, is that basically what Heir Bnei Mizrach does is that it leaves the Isser, but it leaves it as a Lav Kalush. Right? It leaves the Isser, but as a weakened, in its weakened form. What would the Nafkamina be? So he thinks the nafkamina is that after Heir Pnei HaMizrach, but before the Karban, even though it's Asur, right, and the way Yerushalmi says, right, it's Asur, you still wouldn't get Malkus. Because it's a Lav Daraisa, but a weakened Lav Daraisa. So it's Asur, but doesn't carry with it punishment. Okay. That's one of the ways that I would explain the Rav and Shmuel. Again, the Acharnim don't seem to go in this direction, right? They seem to understand Rav and Shmuel kipshuto, right? Which is that Rav and Shmuel mean exactly what they say, which is that there's just simply two tracks for this Isser. That when there's a Beit HaMikdash, the only thing that matters is the Karban Omer, and when there isn't a Beit HaMikdash, the only thing that matters is sunrise. Again, I find it conceptually difficult to say that, and that's why I would want to suggest some sort of a version of what the Shagas Aryeh is saying within Rav and Shmuel. Again, the Acharnim don't seem to take this direction. They just seem to say it's Gzeiras HaKasuv, right? That there's two tracks. But again, I don't have a problem fundamentally saying it's Gzeiras HaKasuv, according to Rav and Shmuel, that there's two tracks. That when there's a Beit HaMikdash, the only thing that matters is the Omer, and that when there isn't, the only thing that matters is the sunrise. I'm not...
Well, that'd be a weird thing for the Pusik to put in.
Correct! That's why I find it weird. Again, that may be the simple way of understanding Rav and Shmuel, I would suggest, but though I haven't seen anyone say this, then maybe you can accept for Rav and Shmuel what the Shagas Aryeh says within Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. Again, I haven't seen anybody say it, but that's what I would suggest as a possible model. I'm sorry, I'm fading in this. It's like, it's so hot, and this mask is killing me. Okay. Um, the Shagas Aryeh then gives another possibility for Rav and Shmuel. Okay? So he has a different explanation to defend Rav and Shmuel. Okay? Because as I said, it's sort of weird to say that when there's a Beit HaMikdash, there's one track, and when there's no Beit HaMikdash, there's a totally different track. So again, I think you could use the Shagas Aryeh's explanation that of this weakened form of Ezer to explain Rav and Shmuel. The Shagas Aryeh himself gives another possibility, and that's the following. He says, maybe it works like this. Maybe what Rav and Shmuel really mean, and maybe this will answer your question, maybe you'll like this more, Daniel, is that when there's a Beit HaMikdash, the Ezer at sunrise let me rephrase it. Okay, basically he says like this. The Omer, once the Omer is brought, when does it become mutter from? Does it become mutter from when you bring the Omer or from in sunrise? So the Shagas Aryeh is mechadish, maybe what Rav and Shmuel mean, is that when there's an Omer, it prevents sunrise from being matur the new grain by itself. But once you bring the Omer, it permitted the grain retroactively from... The Navkamina conceptually is that he says that's why when there's no Beit HaMikdash, basically the way he says it like this, is that if there's no Beit HaMikdash, you're not bringing the Karban, so then sunrise does what it has the power to do, which is to matir grain. But when there's Beit HaMikdash, the fact that you have the mitzvah to wait until the Omer prevents Heir Pnei HaMizrach, prevents sunrise from doing its job, but once you actually bring the Omer, so then it retroactively allows sunrise to do its job. And that's how he explains. Not that it's two tracks. It's that sunrise always has the power to be matir. It's just that the Omer sort of, you know, suppresses the power of sunrise.
Where do they say... I just don't understand how the pasuk would be alluding to... when there's a Beit HaMikdash, when there isn't. What's the point of doing that?
Now, it wouldn't be retroactive, right? It wouldn't be totally retroactive. It would just be that it, like, allows the 16th... Sorry, not retroactive. It's that it would allow the 16th, basically, to kick in with its power. So that's how he wants to understand it. Okay, look, there's a lot more sheet in the Achronim on this, but I think... But I guess we'll leave it for now. So it is David Rishonim. Like, what happens? Okay, I think we'll stop there for now. I can't keep breathing behind this. Another one of these things, which I don't think we're going to deal with inside, unless you really want to, but maybe we'll just spend 15-20 minutes summarizing it, is let's say you didn't bring the Karban in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Does that mean the grain is also forever? Or does it just become mutter at the end of the day?
Right,
so you want to do that? Okay, so maybe we can spend time on it, okay? But not today. I think we're all fading on this. So let me just finish off the other thing that was on the sheet, and then we'll do the other thing tomorrow. So the last thing that I gave you was on the sheet, and then, again, we'll come back to some of these other issues tomorrow, is whether there's a different Isser for barley.
If you didn't bring the Omer, and you would say that it becomes much at the end of the day, then we wouldn't have a problem with grains or anything in America. Because they just become mutter at the end of that day, right?
Of course. What do you mean? Any grain that's planted afterwards has to wait till next year. Right? We paskin that way, right? That you can have grain once the day passes. It's just that if you plant it afterwards, it has to wait till next Pesach.
So what grain are we eating then?
You're eating. Yashan is old grain that took root before Pesach.
And meaning, root. For that day, you just can't eat any grain.
For that day, you can't eat, you could eat grain from a year ago. From a whole year ago, that already had Pesach.
More than.
Like a year and a half ago, right, yeah. Right. Okay, so the last
and
thing I'll just...
on that day.
So the only thing I'll just say is as follows.
Someone planted grain on that day.
the there's just one possibility that in addition to all the complications we've talked about now, the Klei Chemda suggests the possibility that the nature of the Isser is not exactly the same for all grains. And he says maybe the Isser Daraisa applies for all grain, but there's an added Isser in barley that it has the status of Tevel. Now, Tevel is like something you haven't given Truma to Maisert on, that not only is it Usser, but what's the punishment? Misa B'dei Shamayim. Right, it's a very, very machmir. It's not a regular lav, it's a super lav. Why would you think, and also it would be Usser B'hanah Shel Kilui, right? You couldn't even burn it, right, to like for your fire, right? It wouldn't just be an Isser on eating it, rather than normal Isser that's only Usser B'achila. Why do you think he says that? He quotes from the Ragged Shavar. Why do you think he says this? Right? Sorry, he quotes the Ragged Shavar, but why does he think that this is true? Just tell me quickly why you think this would be true. Because barley is what you bring the Omer from. And therefore he thinks that maybe the Omer has the ability to be matir everything, and there's an Isser until the Omer on all grain. But by barley, it's especially egregious, because since you're bringing barley, the Omer from the barley...
So, he's saying... After sunrise, the other ones become
Isser. No. He's just saying they're both Usser, but the Isser on barley is even more intense. That everything is Usser until 16th or the Omer is brought, but barley has the status of Tevel and not just Isser, but the Klei Chemda himself doesn't like this. He says, nah, there's no Raya for this very Mechudosh idea, but I just wanted to throw that out. Okay, so tomorrow, I guess, what we'll do then, if you want to deal with this question of what happens if... what's it called?
You don't give a color.
Okay, we'll continue some of these issues tomorrow. I'm not sure exactly which one we'll take up tomorrow. Okay, I can't breathe.